Thank you, Father, for the gift of your word, spoken from your heart to ours, breathed out by your Spirit. And you, the author, are here present with us now to teach us through your Spirit. Open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts to hear what you have to say and to respond with love and trust and obedience. In Yeshua's name, amen. John chapter 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Yeshua, on the night when he was betrayed, is speaking to his 11 apostles. Judas has already left with the intent of betrayal. And Yeshua has already begun to highlight that this evening will be an evening when he will depart from his disciples. It is an evening when betrayal will happen. And heaviness has begun to fill their hearts. And Yeshua began speaking to them in this section of Scripture by saying, let not your heart be troubled, but rather trust in me and trust in the Father. And he had continued to teach through this passage and stack incredible and wonderful and glorious promise upon incredible and wonderful glorious promise in this hour in which darkness was beginning to gather. And now he comes to this part of the Scriptures. And he's speaking about the fact that the Helper that we've already considered before, the Ruach HaKodesh, will be with them in a special and deeper intimacy when Yeshua goes. And he will be one who will remind them and teach them and carry on the ministry of Yeshua. And some think this particularly relates to the ministry of the Spirit to guide these apostles in the writing of this Scripture, that you and I might have the record of the revelation of God. And then he says that you've heard me say, I am going away, but I'm coming back to you. And he's highlighting again the promise of his return, and that it's a good thing that he goes away, and that soon there's coming a moment when this conversation, this dialogue, this teaching will be over, and they will move towards the cross. And Yeshua will highlight to the whole world the greatness and the thoroughness of his love for the Father in the carrying out of the Father's most smallest command and the greatest command of dying on the cross. And in the midst of this part of the Scripture, there comes glowing like this incredible beacon of light, this incredible piece of glory. Yeshua gives us an incredible promise. And it is this: peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isaiah spoke of this in his great prophecy in chapter 26 and in verses 3 and 4. Isaiah spoke of this peace. And he said, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." And David would write of this peace in Psalm 119, verse 165. He said, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." And then he would write in another psalm, Psalm 37, in verses 7 through 11, he would say, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." God wants to bless us with his shalom, his peace. And Shaul has that in mind when he writes his letters, and he often gives the greeting, "Grace and peace." Grace, the Greek greeting, and peace, shalom, the Hebrew greeting, meaning fullness of life and well-being and fullness of blessing from the very hand of God to us. Yeshua, later this night, would make this statement, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so Yeshua concludes his life on earth the way it began. When he was born, the angels declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men on whom his favor rests." Our troubled world longs for this peace, and this peace is found nowhere else but in God and in Yeshua, his Messiah. And this world will continue to groan under the weight of conflict and heartbreak until Yeshua comes as the Prince of Peace. But in the meantime, Yeshua has given us, his followers, an amazing legacy of peace. I want us to notice that this peace that he gives is his peace. "My peace I give to you." And I think we can see this peace most clearly as Yeshua walks through these final hours of his life on earth. In just a short time, the soldiers will come and the betrayer will come, and they will come to unjustly arrest Yeshua. In Luke chapter 22, Luke writes about this evening. And he writes about what begins to unfold. And in verse 47, Luke 22, verse 47, "And while Yeshua was speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Yeshua to kiss him. But Yeshua said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?' When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." We know from another gospel that this was Peter, zealous for the Lord, and yet misdirected here. And many have thought Peter was aiming to cut off the head of this person and just simply missed and only got the ear. And in the midst of this, Yeshua's peace comes shining forth in verse 51. But Yeshua answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Yeshua said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who came to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." In this moment, Yeshua calmly knew what the Father was leading. Yeshua had grappled with the powers of darkness and with what was coming before him in the garden in prayer. And in those moments, once again, the amazing sense of well-being and peace had flooded his soul. And so when these came to arrest him, he quietly calmed his disciples, his followers, and said, "Now is not the time to use a sword." And in that tender moment, he even healed the servant's ear. That quiet moment. And later on, we find in another account that that servant's name was Malchus. And I believe that that evening, Malchus became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. Then, as going to the cross continued to unfold, John chapter 18 reveals another incident of his display of peace. John 18, verse 19 and following. Yeshua is now before the high priest. And the high priest then asked Yeshua about his disciples and his doctrine. And Yeshua answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Yeshua with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Yeshua answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" The peace of God controlling Messiah. In that moment, when he was being tried, when he was being questioned, and he gives a clear answer, and then this servant of Pilate strikes him in the face with the palm of his hand. Have you ever had someone slap you in the face? What happens? I've had it happen. Instantly, there's this surge of anger and indignation. That's so personal that we could get slapped in the face. And yet, what we see here is Yeshua with great peace, very calmly answering this servant and asking, "Why did you strike me?" Because I've simply said the truth. Then in chapter 19 of John's Gospel, again before Pilate, in verses 4 and following, we read this. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Yeshua came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Yeshua, "Where are you from?" But Yeshua gave him no answer. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so the servant of the Lord was silent before those who would execute him. Is there anything more difficult than being unjustly accused and remaining silent and not even defending ourselves? Yeshua knew it was the will of the Father in this moment for him to humbly go through this without defending himself. He would speak the truth. He would say the truth about who he is, about his kingdom, about his followers. He would say the truth about righteousness and justice. But he left the defense of his life. He left the vindication of what he was doing to the Father. And as a sheep before her shearers was silent, so he, with great peace, was silent. Then back in the Gospel of Luke again, Luke chapter 23, we see another picture of Yeshua. Luke chapter 23, verses 26 and following. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Yeshua. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Yeshua, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and the breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? As he walked to the cross, to the execution stake, to the place of his death, Yeshua, with perfect peace, was fully alert to those around him and gave counsel to these who would mourn for him and highlighted the fact that they shouldn't mourn for him because he was in the Father's will and he was headed really for paradise, but they should mourn for their own world and the fallenness that was there, the manifestation of that fallenness. So even in this moment, Yeshua, fully alert, filled with the peace of God, was sharing the truth that would help these people who were mourning. And then in verse 39, Yeshua is hanging on the cross, and he's hanging between two criminals. Then one of them, one of the criminals who were hanged, blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Messiah, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Yeshua, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Yeshua said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Gasping for breath, because crucifixion ultimately was asphyxiation. A person's lungs would fill up with blood and they couldn't breathe. In the midst of the agony and the pain of this terrible death, Yeshua was fully alert to those around him and ministered to this one dying thief who came to the realization that he needed a Savior and that this one hanging next to him was that Savior. Messiah, again filled with the peace of God in the midst of terrible suffering, reached out and opened the door of paradise to this dying thief. And then, again in John chapter 19, Yeshua suffering on the cross, on the execution stake, would look down and see that one whom God had chosen to be his earthly mother. Verse 25 of John 19, we read, Now there stood at the cross of Yeshua his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Yeshua therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John, who wrote this gospel, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. In the hour of his death, Yeshua, in perfect peace, cared for his own family and made provision for his mother as he was the firstborn son. And I'm sure by this time that Joseph had died. And so he opened the door of provision for her from the cross as well. This is our great Messiah who gives us his peace, his well-being, his clear sense of blessing from the hand of the Father, knowing that the Father will take care of absolutely everything, so that even in the midst of injustice, even in the midst of those calling for his blood, claiming that he is a liar, that he is a charlatan, even in the midst of intense suffering and pain, Yeshua, with the perfect peace of God flowing through his being, ministered and reached out and blessed and passed on his great peace. This is the peace that he gives to you and I. What a legacy he leaves for us. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace. He, Messiah, is the one of whom Isaiah wrote that to us a child is born and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it is this glorious peace he passes on to us that the priests were to pass on to the people when they said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and give you shalom." Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the prophets over and over speak of this peace. Our God is the God of peace. One of my favorite scriptures related to this is in Shaul's letter to the Romans at the end, chapter 16 and verse 20. And he writes, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Yeshua Mashiach be with you. Amen." You see, the God of peace is strong. And sometimes the God of peace uses force to establish his peace by crushing that which is evil. And what a great promise that is, that the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. As God told Adam and Eve, the evil one would strike his heel, but the Messiah would crush his head and bring about peace. As our brother Steve highlighted for us from the section in Leviticus, before any of us can know the peace that God would give, we must know the God of peace, and we must have the way opened for us by him taking away all that would be a barrier. And that's what Shaul wrote about in Romans 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua Mashiach." The peace that we have is blood-bought peace that he gave himself as the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, that all that would separate us from God would be removed. There is no longer any barrier. It has been removed in Yeshua. Shaul writes about this in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2. He says that Messiah, he himself, is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and following. "He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Prince of Peace is our peace. He has abolished the enmity. He has taken away the dividing wall. He has taken away the wrath of God by paying for it on the cross. And that means that you and I, by faith in Yeshua, can enter into the Holy of Holies, and we cannot be consumed. And we can know this God intimately and personally, who gives us his peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Anxiety, worry, out the door with the peace that Yeshua would give us. And then not only is Yeshua bequeathing to us the legacy of his peace and an untroubled heart, but then he is also saying, I give you total freedom from fear. There is so much in our world that would create fear. Yeshua said that there was coming a day when men's hearts would fail them for fear of what they see coming. And certainly we live in that day when it is easy for us to look out in the circumstances and be fearful. But in the midst of our lives, God again comes to us through Yeshua and says, let not your heart be afraid. Fear not. God says that a lot in his word. Fear not. He knows how fearful we can be. He knows the circumstances that we go through. And so over and over and over again, he reassures us and says, fear not. He came to Abram. As Abram was called of God to go into a land that he didn't know and to live among a people that he wasn't aware of, didn't know about them, God said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And then he called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And God led them along until they came to the Red Sea. And they were caught between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. And of course, fear began to rise in the hearts of the people. And Moses, leading the people, said to them, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And what happened? God parted the sea. His people walked through on dry land. And the entire Egyptian army, the strongest of the day, was destroyed as they followed unwisely. And then, after Moses passed off the scene and passed on leadership to Joshua, Joshua was commissioned, and God came to him and spoke to him. And in the first chapter of his book, verses 5 through 9, God says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. inheriting the leadership of God's people, these millions of people, taking them into the promised land. How could he do it? How could Joshua lead the people? And the answer is, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. I am all you need. Over and over again, God continues to say this. In the second book of Kings, in chapter 6, there's a story that I love to think about. One of my favorite stories in the Tanakh. 2 Kings chapter 6, about that wonderful prophet of God, Elisha. And in verse 8, we read, Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, My camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God, Elisha, sent to the king of Israel, saying, Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And so God, by his wisdom and by his insight, gave his prophet Elisha the very words that the king of Syria was speaking, so that Elisha could speak protection to the king of Israel. Then in verse 13, So the king of Syria said, Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, Surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? And there's that wonderful word, a phrase, a blessing again. Elisha answered, Do not fear. Why? For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then in one of those moments when God pulls back the veil between time and eternity, we catch a glimpse of what was going on in the eternal realm. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Fear not, because you and I belong to the Lord, who is our light and our salvation. Of whom shall we fear? He is the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. This very moment, as we are gathered here in the presence of God, the scripture says that the angels of God are peering in, marveling at the way you and I can worship together through Yeshua Mashiach, through this one who was prophesied for centuries and came and is coming again, this one who gives us peace, this one who says, Do not fear. The song that we sang just before the message, taken from Isaiah 43, In your presence, Lord, that's where I belong. That's where I'm strong. And Isaiah 43 says this, But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is our God who says, Fear not, for I am with you. And just like Daniel's three friends who went through the fiery furnace, as they trusted God, and the Son of God himself walked with them. They came out, and the only thing that was destroyed was that which bound them. The ropes were gone. There was no smell of smoke on their clothes. The fire did not touch them. And certainly it is true of us. There is nothing for us to fear, because the only one to fear in the universe is God, and He is our Father through Yeshua the Messiah. Jeremiah was given the same promise. Jeremiah said, I'm just a youth. I can't speak your word. Who's going to listen to me? And God said to him, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. Wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid. Over and over and over again, God's antidote for fear is Himself. I will be with you. The God of the universe is our God, and He promises to be with us. And He gives us these great and precious promises. And King Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple, he reminded the people of his day, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel according to all that He promised. There has not failed one word of all His good promise which He promised through His servant Moses. Every word of promise that God gives us, He fulfills. Whether sooner or later, He fulfills it. Those who trust in Him will never be put to shame and will never ultimately be disappointed. Do you remember after Yeshua has left and the Spirit is being poured out upon that band of His followers? And then as His followers began to proclaim the good news, Peter, the very one who had denied Messiah three times, is the one who stands in front of that crowd at Shavuot and speaks the word of the Lord with great courage, without fear. Then, soon after that, Peter and John would be going to the temple, and they would, by the name of Yeshua, heal a crippled man at the gate, the lame man. And the religious leaders would come, and in Acts chapter 4, we read about the account of the religious leaders with Peter and John. In verse 5 and following, it says, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that is, Peter and John, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua Mashiach of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that is, fearless confidence, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized the distinctive factor about these men was that they had been with Yeshua. And then down in verse 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. And then Peter and John will go back to the believers, and the very first response to this whole incident is they gather together and they pray. And what do they pray for? God, deliver us from the slander of these people? God, deliver us from these hard times? No. They pray, God, continue to give us courage, confidence, fearless boldness to speak your good news. And in answer to their prayer, the place where they were was shaken, and they all spoke the word of God with fresh courage. Do not fear, for I am with you, says our God. And Yeshua bequeaths to us this great legacy of his peace and of freedom from every fear. Yeshua, one time he went up on the high mountain with this same Peter and John and James. And as he was there praying and they were getting sleepy, Yeshua's very countenance was transformed. And he was transfigured before their eyes. And he was talking with Moses and Elijah about his coming departure, his exodus, his accomplishing of our redemption. And then when they were all fully awake, Peter, as often was the case, was the first one to speak up and say, well, we should build three shelters here, three tabernacles, basically saying three places of worship. And the Father intervenes and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. And what was the response? Yeshua came to them and said, do not be afraid. And he touched them. And in the Revelation, John would encounter this same Yeshua in all of his glory. And he would fall down on his face because it was so awesome to encounter the living God in all of his glory, the living Messiah, glorified and risen and reigning on the throne, just as Steve read for us in Revelation 5, this lion who is also the lamb. And when John encountered this glorious being, this glorious God, he fell on his face as if dead, and he was terribly, terribly afraid. And Yeshua speaks to him and says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and death. And again, Yeshua reaches out his hand and touches him. This great God, who is awe-inspiring, has become approachable through Yeshua the Messiah, the great sacrifice, so that when we are in the presence of his glory, though every fiber of our being might cringe in fear, Yeshua the Messiah reaches out and touches us with the personal touch of this God who loves us so much and says, do not be afraid. This is the legacy of our great Messiah, his peace, freedom from worry and anxiety, and freedom from fear. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come to you and say thank you for these marvelous gifts through your grace, through Yeshua the Messiah. How blessed we are to know your peace. So much around us would challenge this peace, Father. And sometimes we do slip into anxiousness and fretfulness and fear. But thank you, Father, that in just a moment you can draw us back to yourself and set us free from every worry and set us free from every fear. Thank you, Father, that as even though we stumble, that because of Yeshua, we have open and free and readily available access to you. So help us to come every moment of the day and find in you the peace that we need and the freedom from fear, because you are with us and you are our God and you are our Father. Thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen.